Welcome to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network, a show that streams health, happiness, and hope to the kidney community. You can download all Kidney Talk shows from iTunes and find a variety of resources to help you navigate this illness at rsnhope.org. Please welcome your host, Lori Hartwell, who has lived with kidney disease since the age of two.
Well, welcome to Kidney Talk, and I'm excited today because it's April, and April is a very important month because it's Organ Donor Awareness Month. And today we have Tanaya Wallace, who's the founder of a program called Donate Life Hollywood, and we're going to learn about it and what the plans are. So welcome to the show, Tanaya.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about what was the purpose of Donate Life Hollywood?
Donate Life Hollywood launched in 2008, and it really was a campaign in response to a series of research by Dr. Susan Morgan that said when television shows promote the main myths and misconceptions about donation, it stops people from registering to be donors. And that's something that, you know, if you have ever done any kind of public education, you sort of know that the public has an understanding or a misconception about the donation process. And a lot of that comes from television shows. But this was the first time that we had quantitative evidence where she had people who were not registered as donors watch television storylines that were inaccurate and negative. And then she assessed whether they were more likely or less likely to register as donors. And consistently, they were less likely to register as donors. So that research came to my attention. And at the very end of her study, she put in her conclusion that the donation and transplant community needs to have a stronger voice when it comes to working with the entertainment industry. So I took that information to Tom Moan, who's the executive director at One Legacy, and David Fleming, who's the CEO at Donate Life America. And they said, all right, well, go do something about it then. And so I created the campaign of Donate Life Hollywood really to be a liaison with the entertainment industry and to react to some of the really negative storylines that we were seeing.
Well, and I remember a storyline where somebody would be rushed to the hospital and, you know, the inference was that, oh, well, we need a donor and not save them or something like that. And,
Yes. And
you know, stuff like that. And people really believe it. And I've heard people tell me that. And I'm like, you know, look, they're not that organized. It's not how they do things. When you come to the emergency room, their goal is to save you, not to say, oh, who's on the list and can we harvest organs?
So it was interesting about the research that Dr. Morgan did, too, was it took it one step further and it said that there is a difference between storylines about donation and transplantation and basically any other social issue or any other medical issue. So I used this example the other day where if there was a storyline where a person received chemotherapy through their toe. Almost any one of us have had somebody in our life who has had cancer, who's gone through chemotherapy. So we would be able to say, oh, that's not right. That's not how it happens. Personally,
right.
I have an experience with that counters what I see on television. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that because donation and transplantation is so rare, you know, the process of donation is incredibly rare, and transplantation itself is pretty rare as well. People don't have any personal experience with it, and so they are more likely to believe what they see on television. So, you know, that's one of the things when I'm talking to writers and others, they say, oh, well, this is creative license. And I said, this isn't creative license, because what you're showing is actually what people will believe. So if you don't get the process somewhat right, and for the at the very least, don't perpetuate those myths and misconceptions. They won't work as hard to save you. There's a black market. Rich people get moved up the list. Those kinds of, you know, fears people have about the donation and transplant process. If you use those in your storyline, and that is your key to your storyline and your conflict, people believe that that's what's happening. And so that's what causes people to feel just a general discomfort with registering as a donor.
And one of the things I'm sure you hear a lot about is, you know, Hollywood celebrities, like they get Natalie Cole got bumped to the top of the list. And, you know, you explain to them that you can do a direct donation when somebody passes away. And in Natalie Cole's case, a nurse that used to take care of her's family member died and said, we want the organs to go to Natalie Cole. So,
right. So yeah. It wasn't even just a random because she was Natalie Cole, but
right.
but because the nurse actually had a personal relationship with this woman
right.
who needed a transplant, which could happen, you know, to anyone who's on the list.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a direct donation. And, you know, people who are in the spotlight have, you know, people remember them more. I mean, it's just interesting. So it's important. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what are some of the steps you're doing now with Donate Life Hollywood?
So we were really successful and we built a lot of relationships. And by 2012, we basically had eliminated most of the myths and misconceptions on donation. We had built good relationships with most of the medical shows, and transplant storylines were getting much better. We weren't seeing the kind of fear-based storylines, but much more positive and more accurate, more authentic storylines. So in 2012, we shut down the campaign, and it recently we revived it. One Legacy saw that there were just so many new streaming channels, there were so many new medical shows. Folks really didn't know the information about donation and transplantation, didn't have that liaison back to the entertainment industry. So last year, they brought me back to revive Donate Life Hollywood. So the main focus for the last year and a half or so has been really the two key components that Donate Life Hollywood has always done. One is rapid response. So if there was something on television, something that we know maybe is coming up, we are able to coordinate people and respond to those storylines. In the past, when Donate Life Hollywood first started, it was writing letters to the networks or to the production companies, trying to find where the writers were and write actual physical letters to them. And now we have Twitter, so it's a great way to actually speak directly to the shows, to the writers' rooms, and to the writers themselves and the creators of the show. So organizing a rapid response, having talking points, and tweeting out what we think about the storyline. And that could be positive or negative. You know, Hollywood loves praise, and they can handle criticism, but they really like praise. So when a storyline is doing something good, we want to respond proactively and positively as well. And then the second part is building relationships with writers so that they come to us for expert consultation when they're developing a storyline about donation and transplantation. And we were able to do that with a lot of the shows in the past. Now there's new medical shows. So my focus has been on The Good Doctor, New Amsterdam, The Resident, those kinds of new medical shows that have come on broadcast television. And the reason why my focus is on building relationships with the medical shows is because we are almost positive. We are assured that the medical shows will take on a transplant storyline at least once. For instance, New Amsterdam has had 3 transplant storylines. The Good Doctor has had at least 2 transplant storylines this season, and I think 2 last season. So we know that when we're working with those writers and helping them to get it right, that we're going to have more bang for our buck. Now, we're interested in building relationships with writers on all kinds of shows. I don't think transplantation needs to just be on a medical show. It could be on any kind of television show. This Is Us or any kind of character could go through this process. And we will build those relationships. But as a first pass, it's building the relationships with the medical shows. And we've been very successful in working with both The Good Doctor and influencing storylines there, as well as New Amsterdam, which we have an ongoing relationship. One of the writers of New Amsterdam, her mother actually received a liver transplant, and they did a very powerful and positive liver donation storyline, and we were able to work proactively to actually help promote that storyline. And people registered on registerme.org/New Amsterdam because of the television show. And so we were able to track and collect that data, which NBC loves because they have a show that's actually helping to save lives.
Right. No, and my husband and I watch a show called The Good Girls on NBC, and it's now on Netflix, the first season. But one of the good girl's daughters needed a kidney transplant, and I thought it was interesting because she ended up on PD, which I thought that was interesting that they picked up peritoneal and that she needed a transplant. And it was really kind of silly, all of it, in some ways. Like, I can't even wrap my head around it because the whole show is just silly. But and then she got a transplant, and it was just so many little inaccuracies. Like, you know, I know the difference in, you know, the latest scheme is they got to go rob somebody because, you know, they can't afford the medication.
Yeah.
And so some truth, I mean, you know, that's getting out there, but the way the transplant happened and, you know, some of the things that were just, it doesn't make any sense. So they could have really used some help.
I will say that I think when I first started Donate Life Hollywood, I was very focused on the word accuracy. And when I met with the showrunner and producer of Three Rivers, which was a CBS show all about donation and transplantation, and I had my very first coffee meeting with her at the Earth Cafe in Santa Monica. I will always remember it. And I brought all this research to her, and I was basically, I said, if you're not accurate, you're going to kill people if you're not accurate. And so we built this relationship where I did an expert consultation for every show, every script I saw and gave feedback on. And I kept them really accurate. I think part of the reason why there was a demise, you know, that show didn't last very long, is because I kept trying to make them accurate. There was one storyline that was completely inaccurate, and we knew it was coming, so we did a little survey afterwards for people not in the donation community, and we surveyed them, and because the storyline was completely inaccurate, but totally positive, it was the most inspiring storyline you can ever think of, even though the accuracy was out the window. It actually inspired people to register as donors. And so it started to make me really look at this difference between complete accuracy and positive storylines that are authentic. And I think that is really the key. When storylines get negative with their inaccuracies and perpetuate the myths, that's where we have a real problem.
Right.
But I've lightened up a little bit with storylines and with writers and said, you know, complete accuracy isn't what we're looking for. We're looking for an authenticity to it. And at the end of the day, if it can be inspiring, showing a transformation of lives, saving lives, that kind of thing, then we have a sense that the public responds to that positive quality.
Well, and, you know, having a storyline in this particular show of a little girl being on PD, I'm like, well, you know, that's positive because, I mean, you know, young people do get kidney failure, and a lot of people think that it's just reserved for older people, and that she did get transplanted, and, you know, they had a donor. So exactly what you said, it wasn't completely accurate, but it didn't offend me in any way that I thought that would harm people. So good point.
Yes.
You know, it was
I think that, you know, there's a New Amsterdam storyline that's coming up. It's about cystic fibrosis, and it doesn't include transplantation, but the young woman who plays the character who has cystic fibrosis is actually a CF patient. That's another transformation, something that we're really applauding and helping to promote that episode, because even though it's not about transplantation, CF leads to the need for lung transplantation. And actually having characters who have these diseases, who have chronic illnesses, and then they're playing the character with, that's a big deal, and something that Donate Life Hollywood is also very supportive of and advocating for, is don't just take on these stories, but employ the people who are going through this and the actors and actresses who may have these chronic conditions, you know, hire them to play these characters as well.
So tell us a little bit about how people get involved and what they can do. Letter writing's one way, but the people listening, you know, do they report shows to you, or how do you want it to work?
You know, more than just yelling, let's go beyond yelling at the television screen, which I totally promote. Yell at your television all you want. But letting me know about storylines would be fantastic. I don't always see where storylines are, and it allows me, even if they're in the past, even if they're way in the past, it's a house episode from 10 years ago, I'm still interested in hearing about those storylines. If they're positive, if they're authentic, if they're completely inaccurate and egregious. So I think the best way to reach me is Tania T. Wallace at onelegacy.org, if you can email me those. And then the other...
Let me just say that again, okay? T. Wallace at onelegacy.org.
That's it.
Okay.
And then the other element is a Twitter component to this, because I have gone a little beyond, moving beyond the letter writing and using Twitter. So it's at @DL_Hollywood. And I know that there's a lot of people who aren't completely comfortable with Twitter. I do find it is the best way to be having a quote unquote conversation with the writers and with the shows. So what I do is, if I know that there's going to be a show about with a transplant storyline, I live tweet and kind of say what's good, what's bad, whatever, and encourage people to retweet those. Or if I haven't seen a show, people do tweet at me to let me know about a show that may have a donation and transplant storyline. And then what the other way that I've been using Twitter is, I've been taking really excellent, interesting storylines, like the honor walk, the donor honor walk that we do in the hospitals now. I tweeted that at The Good Doctor, and then they incorporated that into an episode this season. So I'm helping writers, inspiring them with our real-life stories, so they can take those on and incorporate those into their storylines as well. And then, you know, ultimately, what I'm also doing right now is creating a strategy for the future. So we aren't just rapid response and, you know, building relationships, but where are we going from here? What does a celebrity engagement project look like? What would it look like that we're working with documentaries and supporting notes? Could we start creating content? So I'm looking at where Donate Live Hollywood is going in the future, and how we would be funded, and where we would be housed. So I encourage people too, you know, if there's things that you're seeing that need to be done with Hollywood, I'm taking all kinds of input and insight from folks to see how we create and craft Donate Live Hollywood, so it's a consistent campaign, a consistent project, and doesn't just come and go, but is something that really the donation and transplant community and everyone touched by donation can rely on in building this relationship, so that their stories get heard, and we're seeing an uptick in donation and transplantation because of television, and not the opposite, people stopping, not registering as donors because of what they see on TV.
Well, and I know many years ago, and it, you know, I always enjoyed going, but you had a Donate Life Film Festival where people could submit videos and you could highlight different shows. Is that something you may think about in the future?
Well, I will say, Lori, you know as well as I do, that events are really
time-consuming.
Taxing. Yes, they are. They're really time-consuming. And it is a good question. The film festival filled a need. There were a lot of documentaries that were coming up during that time period. There were several documentaries about donation and transplantation. I felt like they needed a home. And then, yeah, what I did in terms of creating content back then is I gave small grants to filmmakers and help them find subjects. And then they did these short films. I think there's something there about the content creation, again, for social media and other kinds of things of telling our stories. I think there is a strategy there. I'm not sure if the film festival needs to be revived, but I do think there's an element of, like, what is the right event for Donate Live Hollywood? I have actually right on my wall, I have a picture of me at one of the Donate Live Hollywood film festivals. And the other thing we did there was we did awards to television shows,
right,
which was amazing because it built relationships with these writers and producers and network executives. But I have a picture with Jack Black and Ann Lopez and Brad Ellis and Chris Klug, who were all nominated for the Donate Live Hollywood Person of the Year. Jack Black, obviously, because of all of his amazing work that he does with Renal Support Network, and he did win that year. So, you know, that's a great way, too, where our organizations kind of flow and connect and support and honor the folks who are taking on these the message of donation and transplantation. I don't think I'll revive the film festival. I don't even know if I'll revive the awards show. But I don't know. And that's, I like not knowing.
I like
kind of being in a space where I'm asking the questions of what's needed now and how do we really build the relationships and transform content.
Well, and I know that one of the positive stories and perhaps the transplant games are just amazing. And I think they're coming up in 2020. And, you know, some filmmaker needs to get out there and tell that story. I mean, I'm always moved by, you know, so many people who participate, and I've done interviews, but just a little plug there. And then the second thing is perhaps a virtual film festival.
And,
you know, I know, because, you know, people could have one platform to be able to, you know, to spread the message and get their story told, or if they're a filmmaker, to kind of connect each other. But I'm always thinking of networking, and I think that's my forte, is I'm always putting people together. And
yes,
it's very fun. Or, hey, my 21st prom next year. Can you believe I've been doing the prom for 21 years? And
that's
such an inspiring story.
I tell people about your prom all the time. It was an amazing experience. The couple of years that I just volunteered to pick kids up and drive them to your prom changed my life. Being with those kids and just having that time in the car, the 45 minutes to drive them to the prom, really did. I mean, the prom itself is great, but just that one-on-one interaction and feeling like I could contribute to these kids in this way, it was really special.
And just the excitement. It's so much fun. Well, Tanaya, that's just wonderful. I think it's needed. And, you know, Hollywood, that anything that says, welcome to Hollywood, you know, one of my favorite movies, Pretty Woman, you know, I always think of that saying. And I think it's, you know, it's needed. And I'm so glad that One Legacy has revived the campaign, and that, you know, we'll have a chance to work together again. So that's just wonderful.
And already just these kind of ideas, this is exactly what I'm looking for as well. How do you think we should be working with Hollywood? Send me ideas. I'm going to have, basically, I will present a strategy plan in June. And so I'm looking for the next couple of months, just gathering all of these ideas and putting them together. And then maybe I can let you know, I'll probably have a series of conference calls to unveil the strategy and share where we're going in the future. So maybe that's something that you would want to share with your listeners in a couple of months as well.
Okay, sounds like a plan. Well, awesome. I look forward to hearing the next chapter.
Thank you. Thank you for being a part of it. You've been part of this entire campaign, and I'm really glad that we get to partner into the future as well.
Thanks, Tanaya.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network. Please make sure to find us on Facebook or sign up for our newsletter at rsnhope.org. Kidney Talk is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment from your physician. Always seek the advice of your own healthcare provider regarding your medical condition.